Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, verses 8 through 10, and also verses 13 through 16. This is the reading of God's Word. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents, with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and the builder is God. Go down to verse 13. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. O Father, grant us an ear to hear. Unless you grant that ear to hear, even as we hear, we might not hear. Even as we see, we don't see. Father, be with us as we hear your word, and cause our faith to grow as we hear your word. And with that growing faith, let us witness our Lord Jesus Christ and our eternal reality, the reality of our salvation, now and forever. Bless us and receive all the glory. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have been looking at this chapter for a while. This chapter introduces to us many righteous people of God who live by faith. And in verse 1, which we looked many weeks ago, we have seen that faith witnesses the reality of heaven. Faith makes one who has faith to see heaven through the Word of God, and to see himself, who is now a citizen of that place, and to see Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, and now the King of that glorious place, who has seated at the right hand of God. Faith makes one who has that faith to see that spiritually he has been already rescued from this sinful world and has been delivered into the kingdom of heaven. And faith makes him witness that reality. Faith makes him to see how he does not belong to this world any longer, and makes him witness that reality. One who lives by faith does not live his life according to this sinful world. Faith makes him to live according to his already accomplished reality of heaven. To witness that reality, to witness the glory of that place. In our passage, we meet Abraham and his descendants. We meet God's people who live by faith. Through faith, they witnessed the reality of their salvation. What is true of them because of their salvation? They live their lives as the ambassadors of heaven. They represented the kingdom of God here on earth. We read from verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Faith makes one who has faith to see himself as one who belongs to heaven, as one who is forever united to his God. Thus, to the righteous who live by faith, seeing his life apart from God is unthinkable. He witnesses that what is true of him forever in heaven. As you know, in heaven, our desire will be the desires of God. His desires will be ours, and his will be our will. We will obey 100% his will. And that life has already begun in Jesus Christ. In heaven, we will trust God 100%. We will trust him perfectly. In heaven, there will be no more worries, no more fears, no more distresses. Faith witnesses the reality of heaven, and for a righteous person who lives by faith to reflect his heavenly reality by obeying God is so natural. Thus, we see Abraham, who has faith, obeying God when he called by going out, not knowing where he was going. Faith makes him do this. Again, let me emphasize, it's not that Abraham is great. Well, everybody who is in Christ, they are all great. But the emphasis here is that faith made him do this. That's why you read every verse in this chapter. It starts out with, by faith, Abraham. And that same faith has been given to you. And even when he entered the promised land, he lived as a foreigner, dwelling in tents. No. Maybe you think, it's because it was long ago, everybody used to live in tents. No, that is not what the author is emphasizing here. See, Abraham was a rich person. Very rich, in fact. He could have built himself a big mansion and settled in that land. After all, it was the promised land. But even in the promised land, he lived as a foreigner. He knew by faith that the promised land that he has entered was pointing to the better land, heaven, the true promised land. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. For here on earth, we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. And we see the same thing in the lives of Isaac and Jacob, the fellow heirs of the same promise. And Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. You see, even in the Old Testament times, the faithful, the righteous in Jesus Christ, they lived with faith and saw the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why did they live as foreigners even in the promised land? What's the reason that the Bible gives? Why they live as foreigners? Verse 10, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. They were looking for the better city. City that God himself has built for his people. The city of God. The heavenly one. And verses 13 through the 16 explains further. Let me read that to you. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. They lived as strangers and exiles on the earth. By doing that, they clearly showed that they were seeking a city, their own country, home country, if you will. But if they were thinking about their earthly hometown, they could just go back to it. But obviously, that's not the country they were seeking. They desire a better country, that is a heavenly one, it says. All the righteous people who live by faith in Hebrews chapter 11 did not receive the promised yet. Why? Well, Jesus, our Lord, did not come yet. But even in the Old Testament, they, by faith, see the reality of that day when Jesus comes and fulfills every promises of God. And they witnessed that reality. They lived as strangers and exiles on the earth. They were seeking a country of their own, their home country, and it wasn't the earthly home country. You know, being a Korean American, I hear so many old Koreans who live in this country, they desire to be buried back at their home country. Nothing wrong with that. But if they put any religious significance or religious reason on that, then they're very wrong. Your and my home country is heaven. We desire a better country, better than any country that this world can offer to us. We are seeking the heavenly one. By faith, these people saw the reality of heaven, and by faith, they loved heaven more than this world. And by faith, they were seeing that place even as they lived their lives here on earth. They knew by faith that God's promises are not ultimately about this sinful world. They knew that the ultimate fulfillment of those promises of God will not be earthly. What God promised to His people is the other world, the new world, the eternal world. And you and I who live by faith, we're seeking that eternal world. To the people of this sinful world, this world is everything. This is it. And for them to live according to this world, it's a very natural one. I mean, if this is everything, then this is it. I will live for this world too, if this is everything. But to Christians, for Christians to live according to this world, now that one, it just doesn't make any sense. We see by faith the better world and witness the reality of that world. And as you study the Bible, you will see that heaven and this world are opposite to one another. The richness of heaven, how does that show in this world? Well, if you look at Jesus' life, there's your answer. The rich people of heaven do not live as the slaves of the riches of this sinful world. The riches of this world is not that important to us. We are happy with them and we are happy without them. Our happiness does not depend on this world or the things of this world. That is why our happiness, it just doesn't change no matter what happens. No, I'm not saying we should live poor. It's okay. I mean, nothing wrong with living as a rich person in this world. But nothing wrong with being poor either. It just doesn't concern us. It's like, you know, I probably told you this story. I mean, this, I don't make so many illustrations in my sermon, but I only have very few, because I believe those illustrations actually, you know, mess up the true meaning that the Bible is actually trying to tell you. But it's like going to a camping, 3-day camping. Do you care, really? I mean, maybe there are some people who care. But do you care if your tent is not that good, that you cannot take showers for 3 days? Well, you will endure that, even with some happiness, because you will enjoy nature. But you will ultimately enjoy those 3 days of lacking because you have a home to come back to. But if that camping itself is your whole life, then of course you're going to care. 3 days out of 80 years, those 3 days will be longer than 100 years out of eternity. Why do we care so much of this 100 years? I mean, that's when you live pretty long time, 100 years. when you have home to go to. And it goes pretty fast. When you're young, it seems like it's going slow, but believe me, it goes pretty fast. The speed limit, I heard, of life is based on your age. So the older you are, it goes faster. I don't know. That's not... You feel like that. But, yeah, I mean, you don't care if your tent is smaller than someone else's tent. Yeah, we don't care if my house is smaller than yours or ours is smaller than theirs. We're going home. You and I, we are called to witness to everyone here on this earth that we have something that is far better and far greater than anything that this world could offer to us. Our life must show that. With pride, pride of heaven, you show to the whole world that you have something far better, far greater than anything this world can give to you. We do not live as if to show that this world is what really matters. And I'm not talking about being lazy in this world. No, we do our best in whatever that God gives to us, whatever task that He gives to us. But our life is not about gaining this world. It's about gaining Jesus Christ and His world. The eternal world that Abraham belonged to. The country which has foundation, whose architect and builder is God. It has firm foundation that will not be moved. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26 through 29. And His voice shook the earth then. Then meaning at the Mount Sinai, His voice shook the earth. But now He has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. And this expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. God will shake everything, and that day is coming, meaning that this world will be destroyed. And if you are living your life in terms of gaining the things that will be destroyed, you're wasting your life. See, the people who live in this world, they think this world will go on forever. They're very deceived. But the eternal world, heavenly one, will last forever. The citizens of the eternal heaven do not concern about the situation that they find themselves in this world. Abraham lived in tents. He lived his life in terms of loving Jesus Christ and His kingdom, heaven. We live our lives centered on things we love. When I follow you around for, a week, if I just follow you around for a whole week, I will be able to conclude what you love. Because your life will be lived Center on those things that you love and you feel that is important to you. That's just how we are. That's how we live. So if I follow you around, I will know what you love, what matters to you. And here, Abraham lived his life in terms of loving Jesus Christ and his kingdom. All our thoughts and efforts are centered on things we love. The question is, what do we love? Is it heaven or is it this world? Is it God or is it me? That's the question. And you will live according to your true answer. Those who seek heaven, they are seeking God. Those who seek heaven, they are seeking to be with God. Because heaven is all about that. It's about being with God. Being with God is better than, more important than life itself. Jesus is everything to us. And we already have found our perfect satisfaction in Him and in Him alone. Like the psalmist, Psalm 23, verse 1, we confess, God is my shepherd. And I lack nothing. And this is when I don't have anything in this world. I still confess, God is my shepherd, and I lack nothing. Psalm 63, verse 1 through 5, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and the glory, and as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Psalm 16, verse 11b, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Heaven is the place in which we will live with God forever and ever. Thus, to seek heaven is to seek God. Wanting to go to our hometown is centered on meeting the people that we love and we miss. And yes, heaven is where we will see our Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Thus, we seek heaven and we long to go there. And by faith, we witness that reality. By faith, we proclaim the gospel. You know, when we say gospel, of course it's about Jesus Christ, what he has done. But it's also about what he has accomplished for us, our eternal life. And our eternal life is not the eternal life that we will live here on earth. It's the eternal life of heaven. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, it says, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. According to that verse, gospel is, among many things, the hope laid up for you in heaven. The hope laid up for you in heaven, you heard in the word of truth, the gospel. Yes, it's about Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, but also what he has accomplished for us. That is the gospel. The life of Abraham was the life lived by faith. He showed by faith that this world is not everything. His life showed it. By living in tents, living as strangers and aliens in this world. When you look at how Abraham lived, you had to, if you belong to this world, you had to wonder, wait a minute, something is not right, something is wrong here. Why is he living like that? As if he's going somewhere. As if he's going to a better place. This is how Abraham lived. And we've been looking at all these people in chapter 11. And we're going to look at Moses next time. I wish you could look at the whole chapter, you know, one person by one person, but that will take us a long time. Because we would like to go to the 2 Corinthians as soon as possible. He showed by faith that there is a better country. This is how we are to live. You know, even in the worldly sense, there's a strange person that the worldly people see, and they're not, you know, even he might not be even Christian, but they say something like, man, that guy doesn't belong here, man. Something is not right. Where does he think he came from? Just dropped from the sky? What do we mean when we say that to those kind of people? We're saying that person, how he lives and what he says, it doesn't fit. And this is how we are. We don't fit in this world. We're very uncomfortable in this world. Don't feel too comfortable. Yeah, so even when you buy your bed or sofa, just don't buy a really good one. Because if you might feel too comfortable thinking this is it. No, we're moving on. This is not my home. You have to remind yourself, even as you go home, you have to say, this is not my home. Yeah, they will ask you, where did you come from? You say, heaven. Yeah. Oh, brothers and sisters, I lived 50 years and it just hasn't been very uncomfortable living in this world. Because you go out and you talk to people and you share your, you know, understanding and feeling and they just don't get it. I am very weird to them. But that is who I am. That is the person that Jesus has made me to be forever. And just like God is not ashamed of me, I'm not ashamed of God and what He has done for me. You must understand, the Bible is about Christ, but also it's about you. Because you are united to God, united to Jesus Christ. And the life that you see, the lives that you see in Hebrews 11, is summation of your life also. We, too, live as strangers and exiles, as foreigners in this world. We must witness that we are the citizens of the heavenly country. This is who you are. Go to 1 Peter with me. 1 Peter. Obviously, he is writing to a church, but he is writing to you. You are the recipients of this letter. Just as these people who actually received this letter, they are the recipients. And look at how Peter addresses these Christians who are receiving his letter. Chapter 1, verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout, and all those names that I cannot pronounce, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullness measure. God addresses you as who reside as aliens scattered throughout the United States or Orange County. This is who you are. Chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Again, addressing Christian people as aliens and strangers. Yes, everything about this world is strange to us. Very unfamiliar. James chapter 4, verse 4b, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Very powerful words. And I know you don't want to be enemies of God. That is why we cannot be friends with this world. Now, when we say the world, we're not talking about physical world. We're talking about that world which lives on these three things that, well, let's go there, because 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Instead of me explaining to you, let the Bible does that. Chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, here, for everything that is in the world falls into these three things, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also is lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. People who belong to the world, they live according to these three things. That's all they know. It's all about the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and it's all about boasting of what they are able to do. You are saved out of that. You don't live according to these things. And because the world lives this way, you will be strangers to the world because you don't want to live this way. You do not live this way. And brothers and sisters, do not be like Israelites of the Old Testament. Even after they come out of the Egypt, they wanted to go back. They were thinking back. And they wanted to go back to Egypt, even though God has brought them out of Egypt. Spiritually, brothers and sisters, you and I, we have come out from Egypt. We have come out from this world, and we have been already spiritually delivered into the kingdom of God. We cannot go back. We will not go back. We don't want to go back. You know what God says about these people who come out and yet going back to the world and live as though they belong to the world? Go to 2 Peter, and this is a pretty harsh words, but that's why I'm not going to say it. I'm just going to read the Bible to you so you will not accuse me of, you know, saying these harsh things to you. But it's not harsh. It's a loving voice from God. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For if, after they have escaped the defilement of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse than them, worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the ways of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed unto them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow pig after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. And you get the point. A dog returning to its own vomit. Why would any one of us want to do that? But that is what we're doing if we go back to the ways of the world. No, we came out. And you have to realize and believe the reality that you have already come out of Egypt. And let us witness the reality of heaven through our faith that Jesus has given to us. Hebrews 11, verse 16b, the last part of the passage that we read this morning, it says, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Therefore, it starts with therefore, meaning that it has something to do with what it said before that. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. What did they do that God does not, he doesn't feel ashamed to be called their God? These people seeked, you know, he seeked the kingdom of God, the heavenly kingdom. And for he has prepared a city for them. All of you, and me, of course, I want to be included there too. Because we seek heavenly kingdom, God has provided eternal home for you and me. And He's not ashamed to be called our God. The God of Abraham is also God of Young Kim. And He's not ashamed to be associated with Young Kim. Because I live by faith. Not that I'm a perfect person. No. I sin just as much as you do. But I live by faith. And it's not even perfect faith. No, God says even if you have a faith that is the size of mustard seed, you could remove mountains. And I try, but I never removed mountain yet, which means my faith is as smaller than the mustard seed. But I live by faith. And God is not ashamed to be associated with me. You know, even in our family, there's a family member that you don't want to be associated with. You know, you don't want to say, oh, that's my brother. You know? This is so amazing because, you know, God knows me. How filthy sinner I am. How that I'm not, you know, lovable because of my sins. And yet, even knowing fully, knowing me better than myself, He's not ashamed to be called my God. Because I live by faith. He has prepared my eternal home for me. The home that I and you will live with Jesus forever and ever. John chapter 14 verse 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Really, when we hear these words from our Lord, we're satisfied. He will come back and receive us. And the situation that I find myself in this world, you know, all this lacking and sickness and whatever, it will not last forever. He's coming back. And He did not forget about me. He loves me. He loves you. And He gave that faith to you so that with that faith, that you may witness Him and what He has accomplished for you. Let us witness that reality as we live our lives here on earth. Let us, by faith, witness to the whole world that this world is not everything. Let us witness the reality of heaven that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. This is your story because it is our Lord's story. He lived this way. And He calls all of us to participate in His life. It is glorious life. Very happy one. And this is what our lives are all about. Let's live by faith. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the faith that you have given to us. You are the creator and the perfecter of our faith. Oh Father, we pray that you will cause our faith to grow. And you have told us that faith comes from hearing of your word. Let us hear your word. Grant us an ear to hear. So as we hear, our faith will grow. Just like the first creation, when your word was spoken, everything was. Just like it, when we hear your word, the new creation is. Oh Father, we thank you that you have recreated us in the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And even now you're working in us to make us more and more like your Son. And one day as we see him face to face, we will be like him. Let us live by faith, not by sight. Let us bring the glory as we live by faith. Bless your people and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.